That plan to solve the European debt crisis by this weekend, not going to happen so fast.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM, American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. Happy Friday. I'm Steve Chiotakis. Now the global perspective on business and economics. Efforts in Europe to solve the debt crisis are in disarray at the moment. Germany and France say they will not be able to bridge their differences in time for a summit this weekend on Sunday. So the two countries are calling for a second meeting and pushing a grand plan deadline back a few days. Reporter Christopher Worth now has more from London.
One of the biggest sticking points dividing Germany and France, how big will losses be on bad Greek debt? Germany wants banks and other private investors to take a bigger hit. France believes that will make problems worse. At the same time, the two countries remain divided over whether the European Central Bank should be used to increase the power of the Eurozone's Financial Stability Fund. But as European leaders dither, Cinzia Alcidi of the Center for European Policy Studies says this time there's no room for mistakes.
If there is delay, and in the end, the solution that is proposed is considered as insufficient, then we could find ourselves again in a situation of extremely high pressure.
And by high pressure, she means that borrowing costs for countries like Italy and Spain will rise immediately and threaten the stability of the Eurozone. In London, I'm Christopher Worth for Marketplace.
Here at home, President Obama wasn't able to get his near $500 billion jobs package passed a filibuster last week. So Senate Democrats tried to push individual planks of it through, at least one, to similar partisan failure. A bill to send $35 billion to states so they can avoid laying off more teachers, firefighters, and emergency responders also went down to defeat. And with Democrats unable to break another GOP filibuster, Marketplace's Mitchell Hartman is with us live to talk about all of the drama in Washington. Good morning, Mitchell.
Hi, Steve.
So where does the president's American Jobs Act stand right now?
Well, you know, as you said, Democrats are now trying to pass it piecemeal, starting with money to help out state and local budgets. It's a popular measure with voters and also public sector union voters. Now, you may remember this kind of help for the states was a main element of President Obama's first stimulus, and the administration counts the jobs that it saved as a major accomplishment. They say unemployment would be even worse now. Republicans, as you might expect, have an equal and opposite take. Here's GOP Minority Leader Mitch McConnell on the Senate floor before yesterday's vote.
This is the third time in 3 years the president has asked us to bail out the states. How many more times and how many more billions before someone realizes this is a very bad idea?
Well, more bad ideas will probably come along, according to the Republicans. Democrats are now going to try to pass other parts of the president's plan. That includes infrastructure spending, a payroll tax holiday, and extended unemployment benefits.
But where does this, Mitchell, leave us trying to create more jobs?
Well, kind of, you know, where we've been. Right now, basically, it's up to the private sector, which, of course, is exactly how Republicans say it should be. But, you know, here's the dilemma. Government jobs are still hemorrhaging, and that's hurting the recovery. So look at these numbers I crunched this morning. Since March 2010, we've added nearly 2.5 million jobs in the private sector. But in that same period, we've lost more than 500,000 in the public sector. And most of them are at the local level, teachers and public safety workers, and they get paid pretty well.
All right. Marketplace is Mitchell Hartman with us this morning. Mitchell, thanks.
You're welcome.
Let's do the numbers. Well, global shares are mostly higher right now. Groupon said today it plans to raise as much as $540 million in its initial public offering. That's nearly a third less than it had intended. The Daily Deal company is expected to hit the road next week to talk to potential investors. U.S. markets yesterday were mixed. The NASDAQ was off a bit, but the Dow managed to tack on 37 points to close at 11,541.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Allianz, providing solutions to help grow and protect retirement income through its affiliated companies in the U.S., AllianzUSA.com. And by CenturyLink, a new kind of broadband company linking Americans coast to coast with consistently fast speeds and personal service. More at CenturyLink.com. Marketplace Innovation Reporting is supported by the 2011 Jaguar XJ. Learn more at a local dealer or at JaguarUSA.com.
We're going to get earnings today from McDonald's, and the fast food giant will tell investors just how much it spent on some new products. One of those items, though, isn't food-related. The company plans to install TVs in almost 700 restaurants featuring the McDonald's channel. What kind of programming will you see? Marketplace's David Gura reports.
It's lunchtime at McDonald's. It's busy and noisy, and it could get noisier. McDonald's partnered with ABC, BBC America, and Mark Burnett, the creator of Survivor, to start a new network. The catch is it's only watchable at McDonald's. It's debuting at hundreds of restaurants in California, but if the McDonald's channel catches on, then customers around the world might see it.
The communication will make their customers feel better about why they're at McDonald's and ultimately keep them there longer.
That's Darren Tristano, a restaurant analyst with Technomic. He says that if McDonald's can entice a customer to stick around watching music videos and local sports highlights, it might sell more McFlurries and baked apple pies. But there's another reason McDonald's is doing this. Vince Vittori is with the Yankee Group.
There is advertising opportunity.
Other companies can pay McDonald's to show their commercials to a big, captive audience.
There is definitely a opportunity to leverage the millions of visits that consumers make to McDonald's restaurants.
Supermarkets have done this kind of thing for folks in the checkout line, but this is new territory for a restaurant. Starbucks may have been the inspiration. The coffee chain got into the music business a few years ago. And now, analyst Darren Tristano says, it's a big source of revenue for the company. I'm David Gura for Marketplace.
And finally, Massachusetts lawmakers are debating a special license plate for baby boomers, the generation born between 1946 and 1964. The tags would cost drivers an extra $30 at the DMV, and proceeds would go to the Commonwealth's Council on Aging. The plates haven't been designed, but there are plenty of ideas. One radio commentator says they should feature a picture of sushi and a couple of chopsticks to highlight boomers' trendy food contributions. Another recommends the declaration Baby Boomer on board. But an editorial in today's Worcester Telegram and Gazette poo-poos any special plate, saying baby boomers have enough vanity without the need for a car tag. I'm Steve Chiatakis in Los Angeles. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. This is APM, American Public Media.
For most, Friday is the end of a long, hard week. But for us, we're just getting started.
The policies that were put forward, they are get-back-to-work policies.
Well, I would love to see a massive, big stimulus.
Greece is kind of like a big, giant subprime borrower without a loan modification plan.
I'm Con Rizdahl, the Weekly Wrap. Everything you need to know about the week's big economic news and oh so much more. It's next time on Marketplace from APM, American Public Media.